W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Will Carr. Former President Trump says he's been informed he's the target of a federal investigation from Special Counsel Jack Smith on efforts to overturn the 2020 election. ABC's Catherine Falder says this likely indicates another indictment.
We know that the Special Counsel has been investigating Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election for quite some time. This is a sprawling investigation. They've talked to multiple witnesses. This is, of course, just one of Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigations. The other is the documents investigation. So it's been ongoing for quite some time.
It's expected to be another day of extreme heat for much of the world. The Earth's 15 hottest days on record have occurred over the last 15 days. The same day, a U.S. ballistic missile submarine arrived in a South Korean port for the first time in more than 40 years. A U.S. soldier voluntarily entered North Korean territory. A U.S. official tells ABC the soldier is believed to be in North Korean custody. This is ABC News. Investigators on Long Island reveal the alleged serial killer connected to the Gilgo Beach killings was hiding an arsenal of guns in his home. Among the items police say they pulled from the suspect's home, more than 200 guns. He's pleaded not guilty. In Israel, tens of thousands protest efforts to weaken the judiciary.
Flag-waving Israelis disrupting traffic on major highways and intersections once again. But we're also seeing new protests at the religious courts or rabbinate, at the labor union headquarters, near hospitals and military bases, and in front of Israel's equivalent to the Pentagon. All of this to stop a bill that bars judges from using a reasonableness standard to strike down laws or appointments. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
An investigation is underway to figure out how an airplane emergency chute fell out of a United Airlines plane. The slide dropped from a 767 and fell onto the yard of a home near Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Nobody was injured. Will Carr, ABC News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
The 24th Assembly District seat has been vacant since former Representative Dan Knodel was elected to the state Senate in April. The candidates are Republican Paul Mladic and Democrat Bob Tatterson. Mladic lives in Grafton and has served on the Ozaukee County Board for 11 years. Tatterson is a retired engineer who lives in Mequon. The 24th includes parts of Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha counties. Those are the WOW counties, which have been reliably safe for Republicans. But Tatterson was beating Mladic in fundraising 3-1. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
the Wisconsin Beer Distributors, and Operating Engineers Local 139. Hundreds of people are suing the city of La Crosse over PFAS. The town of Campbell is right next to La Crosse. People who live there are suing for more than $40 million. People in Campbell say forever chemicals used at the La Crosse County Airport are driving their property values down. Environmentalists are warning about a high number of Great Lakes beaches in Wisconsin that tested positive for potentially unsafe levels of bacteria last year. Mike Moen reports.
The group Environment America notes 63% of beaches tested in the Great Lakes region last year had at least one day of fecal contamination that exceeded the EPA's beach action value. That tool helps states determine whether a beach is safe enough to go swimming. Environment America's John Rumpler says the results underscore how much pollution is plaguing areas meant for the public to enjoy.
Hundreds of America's beaches have enough pollution to put swimmers at risk, and that's just unacceptable.
For Wisconsin, more than 100 beaches were tested last year. 76 had at least one day of potentially harmful levels of the bacteria in question. The group says key sources of pathogen pollution that can make swimmers sick include stormwater runoff and sewage overflows. I'm Mike Moen.
One of the nation's renewable energy leaders is right next door to Wisconsin. 64% of Iowa's energy now comes from wind. That's a new record for that state. Green energy advocates call it a big step toward fossil fuel independence.
I think Iowans have come together about renewable energy because it provides benefit in rural areas. It's remarkable that Iowa has led the way on this for so long, even through political change for decades now.
Michael Schmidt is with the Iowa Environmental Council. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. James Priestler, the 65-year-old Green Bay man arrested last Friday, faces several drug charges, including having a meth lab in his home. Priestler, known internationally as Uncle Fester, was in court yesterday and was officially charged with multiple felonies. The police raided his home last Friday after months of surveillance and controlled buys. Inside Priestler's home, authorities found, among other substances, cocaine, meth, and meth lab equipment. He is being held on $100,000 cash bond. A man is in custody after an argument on Green Bay's east side led to a stabbing. 20-year-old Jahir De La Pena Rodriguez was charged with attempted first-degree intentional homicide for stabbing his sister's 24-year-old boyfriend in the neck. Police responded to the call around 3 a.m. Sunday morning on the 1300 block of Klaus Street. De La Pena Rodriguez was arrested after a short chase on foot that involved a canine unit. The boyfriend was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. If you take your kids camping, you'll want to hear this from Civic Media's Brittany Merlot.
The CDC is investigating a local campground where impetigo has been reported. This common and highly contagious skin infection mainly affects young children and appears as reddish sores on the face, especially around the nose and the mouth, and on the hands and feet. It has been reported that River's Edge Campground in Stevens Point had a case there. Since, they have performed extra cleanings of all the inflatable toys, slides, surfaces, life vests, and other equipment. They stated that they have worked with the local health department and have also had additional tests of the pond water performed. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Green Bay is on a good roll, literally. Recently ranked America's best small town to live in, it also has the best drivers. That is according to Consumer Affairs. Their study used data from the Department of Transportation, including fatalities from drunk driving and speeding deaths. This is actually remarkable since Consumer Affairs also said Wisconsin is in the top five for worst roads. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Another day mixed with sunny periods and cloudy streaks, alongside crisp west winds, keeps the state at average high temperatures today. Temps will tap the upper 70s to low 80s for a majority of the state, unless if you live by the big ponds. Those two Great Lakes will keep areas near them at highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. Light showers sprinkle in this evening around 5 p.m. in the Northwoods near Lake Superior and work their way slowly southeastward across the Northwoods and towards Green Bay. Tonight, temperatures will drop into the 50s statewide under mostly clear skies. And the next shot of storms surges in tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Have a terrific Tuesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose another starting pitcher. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee left-hander Wade Miley was placed on the 15-day DL today with soreness in his left throwing elbow. He was supposed to start tomorrow night. The Crew are in Philadelphia to face the Phillies. First pitch tonight at 5:40. It's Julio Teheran tonight against the Phillies' Aaron Nola. Milwaukee remains with a two-game lead in the NL Central. The Reds and the Giants game suspended last night due to rain in Cincinnati. Craig Counsell on what he sees for his bullpen on the second half of the season.
I mean, I think we're going to need somebody else to step up from, you know, we get this group of five that's been here all year. All five of them have had really nice seasons. We're definitely going to need, you know, somebody else in that group. But, you know, that's, you know, I'm asking for a lot, I understand. But we do have a pretty good, you know, idea what we want to do down there right now. And guys' roles are, you know, very well defined.
I asked Christian Yelich if he's okay where the Brewers have been in the standings.
Yeah, you just want to be in a position that you're in it down the stretch. You know, we're still a few months out from September, but, you know, going into the last month of the season, you want to be within striking distance and feel like you have a chance at making a run at the postseason. And you work hard all year as a team to put yourself in a position to succeed and play meaningful games at the end of the year. And, you know, we still have a lot of work to do in order to have that happen, but overall it was kind of a up and down first half for us. We dealt with a lot as a team. I definitely think there's room for improvement in a lot of areas, but we put ourselves in a position to be within striking distance, to be close, and hopefully have a good second half.
Cubs lost last night at home to the Nationals 7-5. NBA MVP Joel Embiid was interviewed at a sports show in L.A. and asked, does he want to finish his career with the 76ers?
I just want to win a championship, you know, whatever it takes. I don't know what that's going to be, whether it's in Philly or, you know, anywhere else. You know, I just want to have a chance to accomplish that. I want to see what it feels like to win that first one and then think about, you know, the next one.
NFL, no new contracts for running back Saquon Barkley of the Giants, the Cowboys Tony Pollard, or the Raiders' Josh Jacobs. That means all three players will be playing under franchise tags this season. Barkley could be a holdout when training camps open next week. Packers nose tackle Kenny Clark on CBS Sports Radio was asked, now that Aaron Rodgers is gone, are the Packers getting less respect as a possible playoff team?
Yeah, 100%, but that's cool. I like it that way. It's been one of the first off seasons where, you know, we ain't really been getting the credit, getting the love. You know, everybody says Aaron, that determines the factor whether we win or lose. So, you know, we love it, man. We're going to embrace it. When it comes week one, you know, when the season gets here, you know, we'll see how everything stack up. But we're excited about it.
That's the Packers' Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 78. Westerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 59. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 82. upper 70s. Thursday, with a chance for scattered storms, turning warmer. Friday, with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 76.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Joining us today, this is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Mr. Luke Mathers in studio again today, day number two of the brand new gig. Luke, how are you doing today?
Brand new gig? Same gig, just new digs. We're in the new facility here on State Street. We're having a lot of fun. Excited to join you here on the airwaves for Town Call. And we're repping the new look. We got a logo on the screen behind us. We've got all these fancy new mics. We got Aaron on the board, who's learning those ones and twos along with us. It's a lot of fun here at Civic Media right now.
I love the I definitely love the logo on the background, but I'm thinking we got to try to change. There you go. The black background screen behind the logo to white. It'll go so much better with the red, white, and blue theme. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez, are you picky and demanding? Okay. It wasn't good enough I got it there.
I thought I asked very nicely.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was a very nice way of me asking. You did a phenomenal
All right,
job,
Aaron. Did it sound like he was nitpicking a little bit? He was like, hey, if you could change just one more thing.
I don't know. I don't think it really sounded like nitpicking. I thought it was more like, hey, here's another thing. We could make it even better.
All right. See, look, Aaron's taking that right down the middle approach. I think that is effectively because you've been working the refs the past couple weeks when it comes to the most Wisconsin headline of the week, Will. And that's why Aaron's going, you know, right down the middle.
Years of practice, Luke. Years of practice. You got to be polite but firm. Make sure that the officials understand, like, hey, I know you're a good guy. I know you're just doing your job. But at the same time, like, you can do your job a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
Sir. Well, what are we talking about today here on Town Call, Will? Let's get the subject of today's Town Call out there for the people.
Well, look, I have a question for you, the audience, and the people of Wisconsin. Continuing a little bit on the conversation we had yesterday regarding trust in our electoral system, how do we restore trust into American politics, both in from a politician's perspective and from a systemic issues in and of themselves? And my first question for you today, Luke, is should candidates be able to use campaign funds to pay themselves back for loans that they gave their campaign? This is an issue that we have talked about in the past, you and I, but reading over from a piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Ron Johnson pockets $400,000 from donors for old campaign loans, despite saying he wouldn't do so. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is paying himself back hundreds of thousands of dollars for loans he made to his prior Senate campaigns, despite claiming that he would not seek to recoup the money from donors. The multi-million dollar Oshkosh Republican received $400,000 from his campaign account in early May, according to his latest filing with the Federal Elections Commission. The payments were made in two installments of $150,000 each and two more of $60,000 and $40,000, all on May 3rd from loans for his successful 2010 and 2016 elections. As you noted when we were talking about this before the break, Luke, these repayments are all perfectly legal due to the May 2022 Supreme Court ruling in Ted Cruz versus FEC decision that noted federal candidates are entitled to use an unlimited amount of cash raised after an election to repay loans they had previously made to their campaign. Federal lawmakers had previously placed a $250,000 cap on the amount of money that candidates could raise after their election to repay old campaign loans, but that is now unlimited. Luke, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting update here now, because as we talked about this previous, this now seems like, as we pointed out yesterday, We're talking about these elections from 2020. Now we're talking about 2010 elections and 2016 mm-hmm. elections. Because with this new ruling, candidates, as long as they're still in office, or I guess even if they're not in office, they could just continue these campaigns and continue to fundraise to pay for loans that these self-made individuals, these individuals that want to run government like a corporation, that didn't just take out these loans in perpetuity then against themselves. They're loaning themselves money just to go and fundraise to then go pay off those loans. It doesn't feel like a self-made individual would do this, Will. It doesn't seem like this would be what the good business sense is to be able to run these campaigns for forever, effectively. If you have the resources to loan yourself money and then you just go and continue to fundraise to pay back those personal loans, it seems at least questionable in my mind, because it's going to lead to just fundraising in perpetuity. And I think that's most candidates, I don't think, like doing the dialing for dollars. They don't like the fundraising aspect of what their jobs require of them. We should be able to have some campaign finance reforms that would make it so that there's not so much money in politics. But this seems like it's just adding on to that rather than making the process more simplified. Yeah. Lighter fluid.
Especially when you consider that our elected officials, it should be considered a public service, right? You are working on behalf of your constituents. You are working because they chose you to represent them. And as you noted, it kind of seems like we're turning political campaigns into a career in and of themselves with the sole focus of
which is a little ironic, because the whole reason that Ron Johnson ran in the first place was that he said he was not a career politician. He committed to only serving for two terms, but he's currently in his third. And so it is important to note that some of the comments that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson makes to the press don't necessarily carry the weight that he may intend them to carry when he says them. His involvement in the plot to deliver fraudulent electors to Congress on January 6, 2021, when his involvement in that scheme came out that he may have delivered or was trying to deliver the fake electors for Wisconsin and Michigan to then Vice President Mike Pence, he told reporters he pretended he was on a phone call walking out of the U.S. Capitol. And the reporter said, "No, Senator, I can see you're not on a call right now. Your phone screen is at the home screen. You're not currently on a call." And his defense was, "Well, I tell reporters whatever I need to get them off my back."
Remember, Luke, the quote from when he was asked about the fake elector scheme, and he said, quote, "My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds," unquote, referring to delivering the false electors to, at the time, Vice President Mike Pence. So, you know, seditious conspiracy might have happened, but it was only for a few seconds, so it's not that big a deal.
And in regards to this story about expectations about whether or not to get paid back from outstanding campaign debts, that loans that he had made to himself as the self-made businessman, Johnson told Insider back in May, "I don't have any expectation to get paid back." And so that quote doesn't carry a whole lot of weight, that when you're saying that to the press, as this decision comes out from the U.S. Supreme Court, that you have no intention to utilize that new provision. He was just filing with the Federal Elections Commission like he's supposed to. It's just a routine paperwork thing. And then all of a sudden we find out $400,000 paid back from his campaign to him to recover that personal loan made from prior campaigns, not the 2022 election to a third term that he swore he would never run for.
And you and Aaron pointed it out before the show as well. Remember that the payments, as they were made in two installments of $150K and two more of $60 and $40K. All of these payments came on May 3rd, which was about 2 weeks before his quote of, "I don't have any expectations to get paid back," that he said on May 17th. So he had already been paid partially back when he said that, when he told Insider he wasn't expecting to be paid back. And is this just playing semantics? "Oh, I'm not expecting to be paid back more because I already was paid back a little bit. It's just, you know, we talk about this all the time, Luke. Do as I say, not as I do. And actions speak so much louder than words. You cannot take some of these individuals at face value what they do or what they say, excuse me, because what they are doing is entirely different.
We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts and how do you feel about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson saying that he had no expectations to be paid back, but using a loophole now through a recent Supreme Court decision that enriched himself, or at least recovered himself, the loan up to $400,000 that he had previously made to past campaigns? We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You want to head over? Okay, we're going to head over to the phone lines, Will. Well, we got Andrea in Menominee Falls calling in now. Andrea, what are your thoughts on this subject?
My immediate thought is the student loan forgiveness getting shot down. And I was told by many people that I shouldn't take out loans that I can't pay back. But what's funny in this situation is I think Ron Johnson could have paid this loan back and been just fine. I think it's really interesting that there's so much money that's circulated in politics and we say, oh, we can't afford that. We can't cut that. We can't eat the rich. That's barbaric. They take so many risks in their businesses. And then you just see how much money is getting thrown around, and it's definitely discouraging. I also think back to, I don't know which Wisconsin politician this was, but there was some mail that was distributed, and it was just asking for campaign funds, but it was designed to look like a bill in the mail. And it was like, God, there's going to be some elderly person that just, you know, doesn't have their glasses on, can't see, thinks, oh, I got to pay this bill, and sends it back and unknowingly donate to this campaign. So it's a very interesting concept to me that this money just goes right back into their pockets.
It's deceitful. It's incredibly deceitful. And that's a really good point, Andrea. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Johnson's most recent financial disclosure form filed May 15th indicates his net worth is anywhere between $24.7 million and $86.2 million. In other words, more than enough to pay back his campaign or to give himself loans without having to worry about being financially destroyed, unlike the millions of students, for example, who had to take out student loans, or even some of the numerous PPP companies, the small companies that received government loans, because we know a lot of large companies did as well and had their loans forgiven. But where do you draw the line? The very wealthy always seem to expect these type of handouts for themselves. But as soon as you offer handouts for anybody else, it's the lazy people are unwilling to work and they just expect the government to bail them out. It's grotesque.
Exactly. You know, it's just interesting to me that it's always, no, we don't have money for this. We don't have money for this. And it's kind of like, yeah, but these politicians really do. They really do have money for this.
I have to defer back to the Dr. King quote, Andrea. The problem is that we all too often have socialism for the rich and rugged free enterprise capitalism for the poor. We see this example time and time again, industry after industry, situation after situation. It never, never ends. You know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it very often rhymes, and we are seeing these stories left and right. So thanks for giving us a call today, Andrea. We are talking candidate finances today on Town Call. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789, or shoot us a text. We'll be right back after the break.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Will Carr. Former President Trump says he's been informed he's the target of a federal investigation from Special Counsel Jack Smith on efforts to overturn the 2020 election. ABC's Catherine Falder says this likely indicates another indictment.
We know that the Special Counsel has been investigating Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election for quite some time. This is a sprawling investigation. They've talked to multiple witnesses. This is, of course, just one of Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigations. The other is the documents investigation. So It's been ongoing for quite some time.
It's expected to be another day of extreme heat for much of the world. The Earth's 15 hottest days on record have occurred over the last 15 days. The same day, a U.S. ballistic missile submarine arrived in a South Korean port for the first time in more than 40 years. A U.S. soldier voluntarily entered North Korean territory. A U.S. official tells ABC the soldier is believed to be in North Korean custody. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Police have a man in custody for a stabbing in Manitowoc. Authorities are asking that 23-year-old Jose Arcaville be charged with first-degree intentional homicide. Officials say he stabbed a man seven times at the Deja Vu Tavern on Buffalo Street in the early hours of Sunday morning. No formal charges have been filed yet. Manitowoc police performed life-saving measures on the victim until EMTs arrived. The victim was taken to a hospital with very serious injuries. The victim of a hit-and-run has been identified. The incident happened in Marinette County on the interstate bridge between Marinette and Menominee, Michigan, around 2:18 Saturday morning. The Marinette Police Department has identified the man as David Joseph Fournier of Menominee. Fournier was on his bike when it happened and was pronounced dead at the scene. Police have also identified the suspect and vehicle, but there is no other information at this time. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking campaign finance, and we are talking, should politicians be able to repay themselves via campaign funds? Reading over from the piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, of course, Ron Johnson, the current senior senator for the state of Wisconsin, has paid himself back $400,000 from his campaign accounts. And Luke, I wanted to dive a little bit, just to provide a little bit of context. We mentioned the Ted Cruz versus FEC ruling from May of 2022, which got rid of the old limit of $250,000 that you could repay your campaign and instead made it essentially unlimited. And this case, in a 6-3 ruling, held that the law violates the First Amendment on behalf of Senator Ted Cruz. because candidates should be able to repay any loans that they make to their own campaigns. It involves Section 304 of the Bipartisan Campaign Finance Reform Act. At the time, it only allowed up to $250,000 in post-election contributions, but no more. A lower court had ruled that the $250,000 limit is unconstitutional because the government had not shown either that it serves an interest in preventing politicians from trading favors for contributions or that the limit is sufficiently targeted to serve that interest. The Supreme Court upheld that ruling. Writing for the court, Chief Justice John Roberts began by rejecting the Federal Election Commission's argument that Cruz and his campaign lacked the right to sue because the injuries they complained about, which was the campaign's inability to fully repay a $260,000 loan that Cruz made to his campaign before Election Day.
Just conveniently $10,000 more than the legal limit, you know, almost like picking a fight.
It felt like picking a fight,
knowing that you had a friendly ally that could come in and, you know, rule in your favor with a 6-3 majority on the nation's highest court.
It's very similar to the 303 creative case that we talked about the other day, where if you're
just all made up through thin air. That was just all hypotheticals. We found out after the fact that really there was no harm done. There was no standing. But for whatever reason, it went to the nation's highest court.
Exactly. We know what reasons. But my point was more so when you're able to cherry pick a case and create an issue that purposely allows you to attack an idea or established precedent, it's so much easier to have the courts rule in your favor because you are crafting a case specifically designed to get this ruling.
We want to hear your thoughts. Is this par for the course? Is this what all politicians do? Or is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson an exception with saying that he had no intention of recouping these funds, but now because of change in the rules, he's about $400,000 wealthier, repaying himself back that from campaign contributions? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call in to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We got Don in Milwaukee calling in now. Don, what are your thoughts?
Am I on the air?
Yeah, we got you on the air, Don.
Call. I'm kind of disillusioned with politicians the way it is. And I would like to know, we know that they're in there to make themselves rich. Let's face it. No use kidding yourself. I mean, I would like to know, I'm a former farmer. I'm switching gears a little bit. There was an article a couple weeks ago in the Journal, and it was telling how the milk is being transferred up north down here to Milwaukee. We're dumping it down the sewers, get thousands of pounds. I always thought this rule of supply and demand meant something. I go to the store to buy a gallon of milk. What does it cost me? $4. I want to buy a pound of butter. What does it cost me? $6. I want to buy some cheese. What does it cost me per pound? $9-$10. I mean, why can't they, if there's so much milk on the market, why can't these greedy people give the farmer a cut out of the profits that they make? I myself had to give up farming.
I think you just touched on it, Don, when you said greedy.
I couldn't make it. I just couldn't make it anymore. Right now, the farmer, if he can even, because see, they're refusing the milk because there's so much milk on the.
Well, there weren't enough processors.
They're getting paid $15 a 100 pounds.
Don, so there aren't enough processors, from my understanding of the reading of that piece that you referenced in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There's just simply not, there's a bottleneck. There has been such a either consolidation or just slim down, as you pointed out. Small dairy farmers have been squeezed out of the market in a lot of instances, but there's just too few processors now to take that milk, that raw milk, and either turn it into pasteurized milk for gallons or half gallons or whatever size at the grocery store, or turn it into any other dairy product, cheese, butter, ice cream, anything. And so, yes.
Right, well, I understand. You know, Luke, I understand that.
Yeah.
But then why, when you go to the store, well, why, you know, see, isn't there that they all say supply and demand? Well, why do I have to pay $4? Why can't they sell it to you for $2 a gallon? A pound of butter. Why do I have to pay $6?
That is an excellent question.
You touched on it earlier, Don.
Pardon?
You noted greed. When he noted greed earlier, I think Don hit the nail on the head. I mean, the vast majority of issues that we have in modern society comes down to a small handful of individuals being incredibly greedy. And to give you a little more context as well, Don, there was a piece from CBS News focused on Minnesota because of the number of videos of farmers in Minnesota that have been dumping thousands and thousands of gallons of milk on their farms. It says because of oversupply in processing plants. There's a direct quote from Justin Malone, a third generation dairy farmer and one of the owners of Hastings Creamery, who notes that ultimately the nutrition in dairy is very much needed in this country and other parts of the world. However, a lot of folks in the dairy industry just don't have enough processing to handle the amount of milk that the dairy industry is producing right now.
I mean, you know, you read about Ethiopia and all these countries that are, I mean, you know, you think there would be a way. I mean, I don't know the answer, but I mean, you look at that and my God, you all the people that could be using this milk and it's being dumped. My God. And I mean, wait, not only that, you would be helping the farmer too. You know, because at least
the farmers are the ones that are out.
Because right now, when you got to dump your milk out, oh my God, you get nothing.
It's money down the drain, Don. And I think it's important to point out as well that how perishable a product milk is leads it to be very difficult to be able to send to places like Ethiopia or other places around the world that could be in dire use of it. I think being able to have politicians that are focused on improving the dairy industry, a large portion of what the state of Wisconsin is focused on in returning from the COVID-19 pandemic has been getting money into the dairy sector. The Evers administration has been targeted that sector specifically, along with tourism and the Main Street Bounce Back Program. It has been a top priority, but the farm bill that's going to be debated throughout the coming weeks and months, that's going to be something Congress is working on this fall, and we highly encourage individuals to be encouraging their congressmen and women and senators,
Don,
to make sure that they're advocating for dairy farmers and the small local dairy farmers that make up the rural communities across the state of Wisconsin, because that's part of our identity. And if the consolidation that we've been seeing in recent years and decades continues, it's only going to be the large dairy farms and the CAFOs, the concentrated animal feeding operations, that are left in those markets. And so being able to engage in those policymakers and those lawmakers' decision process is a huge part in being able to advocate and improve the dairy processing, so we don't see problems like we're seeing right now with raw milk being dumped down the sewer, as you alluded to, Don. We appreciate you contributing here on Town Call on this Tuesday afternoon. But we're also talking, is it important for our politicians to be held accountable when it comes to saying one thing and doing another? If you've got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. We're up next, we got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
I'd like to say is that Ron Johnson is kind of lying about what he did, and I wonder if that money is supposed to be income now for him. But
I don't know how it will get classified on his taxes yet. It'll be interesting to see how a loan repayment that was essentially a donation to the campaign. He was self-funding his 2010 and 2016 campaigns to see what happens. And I think it's also important to point out that after he ran for the U.S. Senate in 2010 for the first time, he spent about $9 million, I believe, roughly in that ballpark, on self-funding his campaign for the U.S. Senate.
8.4.
And roughly a payout from his previous employer before leaving and being employed by We the People in the U.S. Senate, received a nice payout from his former employer in the same ballpark as well. So he already saw some, you know, covering of the costs for those quote-unquote donations that he made to himself. And now, through this recent Supreme Court ruling, he can also have the campaign pay him back officially in that regard as well.
So that seems to me it's all like income, regardless of source, whether the Supreme Court says he can take it or not, because the Supreme Court hasn't said, well, that's not taxable income. Well, it should be taxable as far as I'm concerned. And for the brother there with the former dairy farmer, it's a shame that all these small dairy processors have closed, because I know here in Sauk City, you know, a community I moved to some years ago, now there used to be a processing plant here. And I know that in Superior, when I was growing up, there was a dairy processing plant in South Superior that the local farmers were able to use to process dairy products. So I mean that, and it's probably safer for the industry if we decentralize some of those operations, because that makes them less, likely that some disaster could occur and there'd be a bottleneck there once again. So it'd be, you know, interesting to see if they could get some cooperative operations together that so smaller farmers could utilize, you know, smaller processing plants, because, like you guys have said, there's a demand for the product out there, and it's a bloody shame that milk is getting dumped down the drain rather than getting processed into a marketable product for our farmers.
Yeah, we appreciate the phone call, Mark, and it is absolutely something we encourage you to, again, contact your representatives, your U.S. Senate members, to encourage in this upcoming farm bill that it will be discussed before Congress still this year, that provisions that help small local dairy farms here in Wisconsin and around the nation to be able to compete and have it so that they're not the ones that are losing out and their milk from their products and their cows is the milk that goes down the drain. We don't want to see any of it go to waste. We want to be able to have a robust dairy industry, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. And this seems like all the more reason to make sure that you're contacting your representatives in the federal government to let them know your stance on that.
All politics is local, Luke. I got to get you on this. If you could get me the audio clip of the tap the sign joke, because I feel like I'm making that joke left and right. Don't make me tap the sign. All politics is local. We all need to get involved. Reach out to your representatives and focus on your local races. You know, we talked about this yesterday. The federal races always get the attention. They get the big money. They're the big, sexy races. But these local races really matter. These local races will impact your day-to-day life. And in my situation, Luke, we happen to have a local race going on today.
Today.
If you're in the 24th Assembly District, make sure you get out and vote. We have our special election today for the 24th AD. And it's, you know, I hate low turnout elections because it's antithetical to democracy. I want to make sure everybody's voice is heard. I want to make sure everybody's getting in there. Everybody's having their opinion read and being able to contribute to the democratic process. So 24th AD, friends, make sure you get out and vote today. We're talking campaign finance and donations back to your campaign today on Town Call. How do we restore trust in our political system? If you'd like to participate, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back after the break.
Don't make me tap the sign.
But I'm lost and I need to know where.
Last stop.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 59. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 82. Upper 70s Thursday, with a chance for scattered storms. Turning warmer Friday, with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 77.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
All my exes live in Texas. And Texas is...
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. And as you probably noted from our intro song, we're going to be going in a little bit of a different direction right now, Luke, because I want to talk about a story that absolutely broke my heart. Reading over from the Houston
Real
Chronicle.
Quick, Will, real quick before we dive into that. Just talking about integrity and our public life, our public officials, our elections. We got an update within the last 20 minutes here, breaking. The top election official here in Wisconsin, Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, has become the third election official here in Wisconsin to confirm that they have been interviewed by the federal prosecutors looking into a special probe in the efforts to overturn the state of Wisconsin's 2020 electoral results. So Megan Wolf confirming she too has sat down with members of the special counsel's probe looking into the surrounding of the plot to overturn the 2020 election here in Wisconsin.
Interesting. And we know that if you didn't catch yesterday's episode, please hit us up wherever podcasts can be found. We discussed the two previous Wisconsin officials who have already sat down to speak with the election probe. And now it seems Megan Wolf is also confirming that she has done so as well.
And former President Donald Trump has confirmed that he is a member, or at least a target, of the probe. He has been notified that by the special counsel's probe. Usually you don't let other people know that you're the subject of an investigation, but Donald Trump, he goes and he shares it. And so then we find out like things like this.
Via Truth Social.
I don't know what else to say to that. But jumping back to the Texas story, Will, because, yeah, this headline, I saw it, and I think it's important why we're having these conversations. How we get better elected officials, how we restore the faith in our electoral process and who is representing us in all levels of government, whether it's at the federal level, whether it's the chief executive, the president of the United States, or all the way down to state governments as well. It's very important to be having these conversations about how we restore integrity, because sometimes you find these heartbreaking stories, Will, that as you referenced, we're going to talk about now here in Texas.
Mm-hmm. And I have to note, Luke, that I am not a lawyer, but if I were a lawyer, I would highly advise any and all potential clients to not go to social media immediately announcing that they are the target of an investigation. So again, not a lawyer. So don't take my word for it.
Just a hunch? Is that just a hunch? You're sharing that advice on a hunch or what?
Shot in the dark. I feel like that might be good information to give an individual that hypothetically might be the target of a federal investigation. I would just say don't go to social media. Maybe shouldn't be the first place you go for a lot of big news in your life. But reading over from this piece at the Houston Chronicle, Luke, that, again, just absolutely broke my heart. Texas troopers told to push children into Rio Grande, deny water to migrants, records say. Officers working for Governor Greg Abbott's border security initiative have been ordered to push small children and nursing babies back into the river and have been told not to give water to asylum seekers, even in extreme heat, according to an email from a Department of Public Safety trooper who described the actions as, quote, inhumane. The July 3rd account reviewed by Hearst newspapers discloses several previously unreported incidences the troopers witnessed in Eagle Pass, where the state of Texas has strung miles of razor wire and deployed a wall of buoys into the Rio Grande. According to the email, a pregnant woman having a miscarriage was found late last month, caught in the wire, doubled over in pain. A four-year-old girl passed out from heat exhaustion after trying to go through it and was pushed back by the Texas National Guard soldiers. And a teenager broke his leg trying to navigate the water around the wire and had to be carried by his father. This is grotesque, Luke. This is human rights abuses. The United States is supposed to be the land of the free, where anybody has an opportunity to create a better future for themselves and their families. And this is how we're treating people.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say to these reports. The for lack of better term, booby traps that are being set by Texas State Patrol along the border, looking to harm or maim or possibly kill these individuals that are seeking a better opportunity and better life. It leaves me speechless, Will. It is unimaginable that here in the year 2023, this is the situation that we find a state like Texas to be in. Like Texas, a large portion of the Texas population is individuals that migrated here, either through legal processes or illegal. Like, it is insane to see that this is the state of affairs for one of the largest states in the union to. For decades, we had Ronald Reagan was we were the light on the shiny, we were the city on the shining light of the hill, or whatever the exact quote is. I know I'm butchering it, but it is insane to say that we have a inability to have a more humane process to address this problem, the problem of immigration. And I thought that children in cages was the absolute low that we as a country, the United States, would stoop to. But unfortunately, there is something lower than that. Mm-hmm. And I think it is the details outlined in this report detailing how an email was sent through the Texas State Patrol sharing what is exactly going on down there on our southern border.
A Department of Public Safety trooper expressed similar concerns with the wiring. And I like how you phrase it as booby trapping, because that's exactly right. That the wiring, quote, forces people to cross in other areas that are deeper and not as safe for people carrying kids in bags, unquote. The email then notes that DPS found a mother and a child who went underwater for more than a minute, were recovered and transferred to EMS, but were later declared deceased. The second child has never been found. People are drowning because of these policies. People are suffering because of these policies. It's almost like the cruelty is the point. And it kind of reminds me of another thing that Governor Greg Abbott did, which was at the end of June, he eliminated local rules requiring water breaks for workers in one of the hottest states in the union. This has led to death as well. A week later, a 35-year-old utility lineman working to restore power in Marshall, Texas, died after experiencing symptoms of heat index. The heat index was 100 degrees Fahrenheit while he was working, not even giving workers protections to guarantee themselves water breaks. I have to think the cruelty is the point, because I can't think of any other reason to do this. This has been Town Call. We are sorry to end on such a sad note, but as Luke noted, we have to talk about these issues. If people don't know they're happening, we're not able to stand up and fight accordingly. And as a community, we need to be doing what we can to protect each other. If you'd like to participate in tomorrow's forum, we got Dan Schaefer coming to town to talk recombobulation. It's going to be a much better time, hopefully, than today was. But we'd love to have you participate. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 844-967-2789. Have a great rest of your day.
If you've got ideas for a future forum, send us an email. towncall@civicmedia.us. We'd love to hear your ideas. Talk to y'all tomorrow at 2:15. 1215-1215.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always